For our scripture lesson this morning, let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. And let's go to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And I think I have in the bulletin, I'm going to start at verse 8. Well, let's start at verse 1. That works a little bit better. Acts chapter 4. Verse 1, I hear pages turning, that's a good sound. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, this is what God's Word said. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees come up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stand before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I just pray that this message that you're about to have me give here this morning, Father, may you do a work in the souls and in the hearts and in the minds of all of us who need that work done here this morning, Lord. Father, I pray a salvation experience into somebody for what your word is going to say here today. You get all the glory, you get all the praise, and it's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. I realize that it's Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, we all have places to go, people to meet, things to do when the service is over. Could I have your attention just for 30 minutes, please? Somebody needs to hear what this message has to say. And it is by no means glorifying myself. The man's name was Jean-François Gravelet. He was born in Saint-Omer, France, in 1824. His father passed away when he was 9 years old, which led Jean-François to provide for himself. Years later, as an adult, he grew to be a man of small stature, but very muscular and with surprising skill and agility. From a very early age, Jean-François had two goals he wanted to achieve in his lifetime. The first was to become an accomplished funambulist, and the second was to walk from the United States into Canada. Jean-François changed his name to Charles Blondin and headed to America in pursuit of his goals. He achieved both goals on June the 30th, 1859, when as an accomplished funambulist, oh, by the way, that's a tightrope walker, he walked a tightrope across the Horseshoe Falls of Niagara with a starting point in the United States and the end point in Canada. An estimated 100,000 spectators were there that day to watch this incredible feat. The rope that he used was about 3 inches thick, with an average height of about 215 feet above the roaring water and whirlpools below. During that 1,100-foot journey, Charles stopped once to lie down on the rope as if to relax, all to the crowd's amazement. Over the span of several years, Charles Blondin traversed the Horseshoe Falls at Niagara 17 times. Each time, the feat got more spectacular and the crowds grew larger. Once he crossed the falls while blindfolded. On another occasion, he pushed a wheelbarrow across the rope. On September 14, 1860, he traversed the tightrope while walking on stilts. During other performances, he would stop midway to do tricks. Once he carried a small stove on his back, stopped at the middle of the rope, and prepared himself an omelet, which he then ate as his amazed audience watched. Another time, he balanced a chair on one leg on the rope and then stood on the chair. Sometimes he would stop midway to take photographs of the crowd below. In early August of 1860, Blondin said to his manager, Harry Colcord, "Harry, here's a stunt that will complete our fortunes. I'll find a man and carry him over." Harry also thought that it was a great idea, and he advertised a pricely sum for the person who completed the trip on Charles Blondin's back. There were several suitable applicants, but after looking at the swirling depths of the gorge, each one quietly walked away. Then Charles Blondin proposed, "Harry, you're a small man like myself. I'll carry you over. Be a good fellow and come along." On August 17, 1860, the great Charles Blondin attempted his most breathtaking stunt of all. He would carry his manager, Harry Colcord, on his back across the falls. So on that day, with Harry Colcord strapped to his back, Charles Blondin set off across the falls. A few minutes into the journey, Blondin halted at the last resting point before the middle span, and he yelled above the roar of water and the wind, "Harry, you are no longer Harry Colcord. You are now Charles Blondin. Until I clear this place in front of me, you need to be a part of me, in mind, in body, and in soul. If I sway, you sway with me. Harry, do not attempt to do any balancing yourself." On that day, both Charles Blondin and Harry Colcord made it successfully across the rapids of Niagara Falls from the United States into Canada. They each received $1,000 for their efforts. That's a great story. That's a great story. And I'm going to use that story to make a great spiritual analogy here this morning. Something that we can associate with. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now I'm going to ask a question, and I don't want to see a raise of hands. Just answer the question to yourself. Is there anyone in here who would like to spend eternity in heaven? Okay. You know the answer to that question. Do you want to spend eternity in heaven? I'm sure that if we did show our hands, probably all of us would have raised our hands. Today I'm going to use the analogy of the Charles Blondin story with Harry Colcord as manager to let you know how that can become a reality in your life. Unlike the man in the joke that I told earlier, I might not know where the post office is at, but I sure do know the way to eternal glory. You'll notice in your bulletins this morning, there's no fill in the blanks. So I just ask you, whatever you feel like you need to write, whatever you feel is important, you write it down. I got several points I'd like to make. I'm going to use the story of Harry and Charles to make a spiritual analogy about eternal life and what it means here today on this Resurrection Sunday. I'm not going to tell you how many points I have, because then you'll know when the end of the sermon is coming up. If I told you 2, you'd be waiting for point number 2. If I told you 15, you'd be waiting for point number 15. So let's go with point number 1. Charles Blondin had a starting point and an ending point. In his story, he started in the United States, he ended up in Canada. We also, my friends, have a starting point and an ending point. Let's call today our starting point, here and now. April the 24th, 2011, this is our starting point. There is going to be an ending point. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. Either we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God, Jesus Christ our Savior, or we're going to spend it in hell, eternally damned. As I've said once before, smoking or non-smoking, one or the other. The theological truth I want to make is this. There is, in fact, a heaven. The Bible tells us so. Luke chapter 3, Jesus, when he was baptized, he heard a voice from heaven, the Bible tells us. In Luke chapter 10, it says that the names of believers are written in heaven. And in Luke chapter 24, it says that Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection. So we have a starting point today, right now. And we have an ending point, and I hope each and every one of our ending points, each and every one of our goals is going to be heaven. And let's use that analogy of the rope. We're going to start here, and we want to end up over here, on the other side. Second point is this. For Charles Blondin, there was a great separation between his starting point and his ending point. It was called Niagara Falls. It was 1,100 feet away, 215 feet above the falls. How about us? Are we separated? Yes, we are. We're separated from God. There's a great separation between us and God also. And the theological truth I want to make about that separation is this. We are separated from the Father because of our sins, the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 3 says this, that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of God's glory. Romans 5 says that we have all inherited a sinful nature. Sin is the human condition. It is what we are going to do. So we are separated. Our sins have separated us from God. Just like there was a falls in between United States and Canada for Charles Blondin, we have this separation too. It's called our sin. It's what keeps us separated from God. The third point I'd like to make is this. Let's talk about Harry Colcord. Harry Colcord was the manager. He was the guy strapped to Charles Blondin's back. Harry Colcord did not have what was necessary to cross the falls on his own. He didn't have the agility. He didn't have the balance. He couldn't do it. He couldn't get across that rope on his own, no matter how hard he tried. And likewise, on our own, we don't have what is necessary to get to heaven ourselves. Ourselves. Mind you, I said by ourselves. The theological truth on this point I want to make is this. Our good works do not merit us a place in heaven. It's one of the biggest deceptions in the world today is that people think that I can get to heaven because I'm good. That God has a set of scales, and as long as my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to get to heaven. But Isaiah chapter 64 says that all of our righteous acts, no matter how good we are, they're like filthy rags to God. Philippians chapter 3 tells us that do not put any confidence in the flesh, because our flesh will get us absolutely nowhere. So here we are. If we want to get to heaven, there's an end point down there. And we know that there's this great separation between us and the Father. And we know that we can't get there on our own. So what's the next point that I need to make? Because Harry Colcord, let's talk about the Harry Colcord, Charles Blondin story. Because Harry Colcord did not have what was necessary to get to the other side, he needed help. He needed help. He needed help. And because of our condition, because of our sinful condition, this human nature that we have, we cannot get to heaven either without help. And the theological truth I want to make about this point is this. We are all in need of a Savior that can save us from ourselves. We are all in need of a Savior to save us from ourselves, to save us from this condition that we have, this sin condition that has separated us from the Father. Want to get to the other side? You can't get there by yourself. You need help. You need a Savior. Let's look back at the story and see what the next point is. Charles Blondin was the only person who could get Harry Colcord safely to the other side. Harry, if you want to get from this point in the United States over to that point over there, you want to get there by this rope, there's only one way to get there. Charles Blondin, you got to strap yourself to his back. Spiritually speaking, there's only one who's able to get us to the other side safely also. And the theological truth I want to point out is this, that Jesus Christ is the only one who can get you or me safely to heaven. No other prophet, no other teacher, no other God of any other religion can get you there. There's only one, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me being Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 that we just read, Peter says, salvation is found in no one else except in the name of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that there is only but one mediator between God and man, and that mediator would be Jesus Christ. If Harry Colcord wanted to get from point A to point B, he needed to get on Charles Blondin's back. If we want to get from point A, here and now, to point B, which is heaven, there's only one who can get us there. And his name is Jesus Christ. The next point I want to make is this. Harry Colcord had faith that Charles Blondin could get him safely to the other side. Harry knew one thing. If I was going to get from here to there, and I had to cross this rope to get there, I believe that my man Charles can get me over there. I've seen him do what he has done. I've seen all the stunts that he's done. And I believe if I strap myself to his back, he can get me across this rope safely also. We also need to have saving faith. We need to have saving faith. We need to have faith in the one who can get us across the rope. And his name is Jesus Christ. The theological truth I want to bring out this morning is this. Without faith in Christ, we will never see the other side. We will never see heaven. It requires faith. We must have saving faith. Hebrews chapter 6 says this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are saved by grace through faith. And in Galatians chapter 2, it tells us that we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. So let's sum up where we are so far. So we want to get over there, do we? Let's talk about Charles Blondin and Harry Colcord. Harry can't get there on his own. Harry knows he needs help. Harry knows that Charles Blondin's the only one that can get him over there. Harry has faith that if I strap myself to his back, we're going to get over there. So you want to get to heaven, do you? You want eternal life, do you? Well, the problem is this. You need to get to the other side, and our sin is in the way. And you can't get there by yourself, and neither can I. We need help. And there's only one who can get us safely over there, and his name is Jesus Christ. Here's the question, my friends. Do you have faith that he can get you there? That's between you and God. I'm just telling you that there's only one way to get there, and that's through Jesus. The next point I want to make is this. Harry Colcord had to follow Charles Blondin's every move to arrive safely to the other side. Let me repeat what Charles Blondin said to Harry once he was strapped to his back. "Harry, you are no longer Harry Colcord. You are now Charles Blondin. Until I clear this place, you need to be a part of me, in mind, in body, and in soul. If I sway, you sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself." So you're going to climb on the back of Jesus? Well, the theological truth is this. If we're going to climb on the back of Jesus and he's going to take us from point A to point B, which is eternal life, that journey is going to conform us into the likeness of Christ. Romans chapter 8 says that we are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. And Philippians chapter 3 tells us that our bodies will be transformed into one like His. Don't expect to get on the rope and do things your way. It's not your way anymore. If He sways, you sway with Him. Don't attempt to do any balancing by yourself, because you might fall. You got to stay strapped to the back of the one who's going to safely carry you over. Don't feel like you can go out halfway and do the rest of the work yourself. It doesn't happen that way. Stay on His back. If He sways, you sway. You just do what He does. Conform yourself to the likeness of Christ. And there will be an eternity on the other side. I assure you, my friends, that if you try to make this journey alone, you can't do it. You can't do it. What does the old phrase say? You can't get there from here. You can't. You can't. Under your own power, your own effort, your own good works, whatever they may be, you can't get there from here. You need a little help. You need a Savior. You need to crawl on the back of somebody and hold on as tight as you can get. Because what happens if you start crossing that rope and you think you can do it yourself, you could just fall right into the swirling rapids and be caught up back in your sin again. And let me remind you of this too. Well, what if I don't want to cross? Well, if you don't cross, you don't cross. You don't get to eternal life. There's eternal life. It's at the other end of the rope. You stay where you're at, you're going to die in your sins over here on this side. And I'm not saying that the United States is hell and Canada is heaven. Don't get me wrong. I'm just using the analogy. You need to get from here to there. You need to get to our destination. So I ask the question. Whose back are you strapped to? Are you strapped onto the one and only one, the only Savior, who can take you from where you are right now today and carry you to a journey of eternal life to the other side? Perhaps today is your day of salvation. And that day of salvation is made possible because of the day that we celebrate today. Jesus Christ died on a cross. 3 days later, it says He rose from the dead. He rose so He could walk that rope with you and I on His back. And trust me, His back is big enough. He can carry each and every one of us. He can carry each and every one of us across. And more. And more. He can carry the burdens of all the sins of all the people of all the world. If you want to have faith that He can take you to the other side. That's what God's Word says. Without a resurrection, there's no way to get from here to there. But my friends, the good news is this. There was a resurrection. And there is a Savior who is still alive today. And he's reaching out to each and every one of us saying this, you want to get on my back? Because that's where I'm going. I'm going this way. Make a choice. Either you can stay back here where you're at, or you can come with me. Strap up, my friends. Hold on. And have faith. And get ready for the most incredible adventure you will ever encounter. The journey from here to the other side. Let's pray.